Welcome to the Punters Mate on SEN.
Welcome to the Punters Mate. It's the 2nd of February. 2nd of February 2024. It's a lovely Friday afternoon in Brisbane town as I welcome Sam Hyland. Sammy, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Chriso. Yeah, big day on trackside today, and we've got a big weekend of racing, haven't we? It's on again. There's plenty of sport going on, and I tell you what, it's well, the weather's been a bit of an improvement on what was the start of the week.
How humid.
We've said it many times before, us being Melburnians, and you're from South Australia originally, aren't you?
For a year or so.
South Australia. Then.
Born in South Australia, yeah.
Were you? So, yeah. Right. And then, but yeah, it's it amazes me when it rains here. Wow, does it rain. And gee whiz, haven't we had some precipitation in the last week?
Well, with that and the humidity, it's been very, very sticky indeed. But the humidity sort of died off, when was it, Wednesday probably?
Yeah.
Wednesday the humidity died and the fog went from the windows at home. Did you have that problem?
Yeah.
So the fog disappeared. So you knew the humidity had dropped down outside. But today, a lovely sunny day, and tomorrow at Eagle Farm it'll be partly cloudy, which to me always means partly sunny as well. So we're looking forward to a good day's racing at Eagle Farm. But I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to as well, Sammy, and that is racing at Rose Hill tomorrow.
Oh.
We've got some really good two-year-old races, the Canonbury and the Whitten, and we get to see some of these two-year-olds step out on path to the Golden Slipper. And there's some nice ones amongst them too, so make sure you keep an eye on those races tomorrow at Rose Hill.
Yeah, I think, I tell you what, I've found it a bit difficult of late, just doing trackside and with these two-year-old races. And you know, it's amazing how they can go out and show so much, and then the next week, you know, you haven't got them, you know, and it's tricky enough. It's, I think I'm mindful of betting in these two-year-old races just because you just know how easily they can tip over and have had enough.
And there seems to be so many of them. There's good two-year-olds all over the place, and then something will star at the trials and something else will star on race day, and they go up against each other and something else beats both of them. It's just very competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, in years gone by, it was a good two-year-old standout at a win like five straight.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be the way anymore. They're very, very competitive races, the two-year-old races. So everyone's screaming about how good Storm Boy is. I think he's up, you know, I'm not doubting that he is good, but he's going to face some stiff competition in the next month or two.
Yeah, I think there's good improvement in that horse of Snowden's that won at Caulfield the other day. He's definitely going to be improved as he gets out to a bit further. And with a bit of racing under his belt, he was still green the other day. And it wasn't until he balanced up and then he got his act together and picked up and quickened. He looks to be pretty impressive, that horse. I like him.
Godolphin haven't had a big season so far for two-year-olds, but I saw a couple of those at recent trials. Traffic Warden is one. We know Traffic Warden's good because he ran second to Storm Boy, and then he won at Caulfield. He goes around in race three at Rose Hill tomorrow. And in race five, they've got a debutante by the name of Celerity, which cost, I think, $850,000. Have a look at its trial during the week. Wide around the turn, just coasted down the outside into a placing. So maybe Godolphin are about to hit top gear with their two-year-olds. CJ Graham was on fire at the Sunshine Coast last week, Sammy. Four winners. How good is CJ going?
She's a great talent. Great talent. I think I was critical of one of her rides yesterday, actually.
Really?
I had my money on.
Jeez.
It was jumped slow and then zoomed around the field. Sat
second. Oh, she rode at least one winner yesterday. She may have ridden
more. No, she rode a couple, I think.
Yeah.
And, but no, she's a great talent and good on her. She's riding in super form and, she's got a good book of rides this Saturday, hasn't she?
Yeah, and you know she's the regular rider of April and Augusta. Do you think those wins?
Oh, wow.
You think those wins last year sort of helped with her experience and confidence?
The old April and Augusta. Where's it out in the paddock?
No, she's back in work.
Oh,
she's
wow.
She's been through pre-training. She's back in Kelly Schweder's stable, probably 4 weeks or so off a trial, and then hopefully back on track. So looking forward to her return. Now, the Queensland Summer Carnival, which we know goes for, what, about 8 weeks? Starts in November at the Sunshine Coast and finishes in January at the Gold Coast. Jason Scott, the head of Racing Queensland, has flagged a Summer Carnival overhaul, saying One of the things he said is state-restricted racing is rubbish. And he's talking about races such as the King of the Mountain, which is only for Queensland horses.
Right.
So, and look, I know we have a lot to do with racing Queensland, but I like where Jason Scott's coming from. As a punter and a guy that's worked in a punting business, I know we work for Ladbrokes, he has a different outlook on things.
Yeah.
I like the way he thinks. And, I mean, the King of the Mountain probably find a new slot somewhere else during the year. It won't be run on New Year's Day next year. And the Summer Carnival will probably be condensed to 4 weeks instead of 8, Sam. So we'll see a few changes for the Summer Carnival going forward. Maybe it does go a little bit too long. And it does start in the spring and, in fact, not the summer, being in November at the Sunny Coast. So we'll see what happens.
That surprises me.
I mean, need 8 weeks of Summer Carnival racing?
I thought that Summer Carnival was going really well.
But would the quality be a lot better if we condensed it to 4 weeks or 5 weeks?
Maybe
that's the talking point for coming weeks. Not today, though.
Right, yeah.
Now, the official world rankings, the International Federation of Horse Racing Authorities put out their rankings, yearly rankings, recently, and there's three Queensland races in the top 100. Which is good. The Kingsford Smith Cup, the Doomben 10,000, and the Stradbroke Handicap. Ooh. Now, those races finished ahead of some prestigious interstate races, such as the Champion Stakes, the King Charles III, and the All Age Stakes. There you go. So, good news for Queensland Racing to have three in the top 100. What do you think's the top? What do you think is the top Group 1 rated race in the world? Do you want a clue?
It's the Arc.
No. It's not in Europe. Oh. And it's not in Australia.
So it's in America?
No.
Where?
Japan.
Ah.
The Japan Cup.
Right.
The Cox Plate and the Champions Mile, both equal 24th, were the highest ranked Australian Group 1s in 2023. So there you go. There you go. Giga Kick and Alligator Blood. They're out, Sammy. They're gone. For the carnival.
Yeah, that's a shame. He's a good horse,
what?
That Giga Kick, isn't
yep.
he? He's a good horse, but... you know, it's, yeah, they're delicate. They're yeah. delicate. And it's, that's really sad. Alligator Blood, I think he's been an amazing horse. You know, you think David Van Dyke placed him so well, did a super job with him. He hit that bit of a flat spot in the middle. And then he went to Gay Waterhouses. And it was like he came back better again. And
yeah.
you don't often see that. Horses have an injury like that and then come back better or, you know, get back to as good as they were. And he's been an amazing horse. I would have thought that's the end of the road for Alligator Blood. I think he had an injury to the pastern, wasn't it?
Yep.
And but I did see there's some word that don't rule out he might be back. I'd be surprised if he came back.
He's done enough, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
And Giga Kick, well, we're not sure where he's going. He hasn't been ruled out for the future, but he's just hasn't really got over that injury from the he sustained in the McEwen Stakes last spring. So we'll have to watch this space with Giga Kick. There'll be more vet tests carried out. First of the light poles. I saw some vision this week of the light poles, or the first of them being installed at the Gold Coast, Sammy. Exciting times.
How good. It'll be it'll be a good venue for night racing. And you would hope that everybody on the Gold Coast gets around it and supports it.
I reckon they will.
It's not far to go, is it, from the heart of the Gold Coast to get to the races? So, I'm not a fan of night racing as a rule, but just knowing how hard it is on participants and the rest of it. But there in that location, it's such an amazing spot, isn't it, where the race course is. You know, literally, well, you could walk from surface to the race course.
I have many times. Actually, walked back. Definitely
just
walked back.
Just recently, wasn't it?
No, a few years ago. Actually, I remember as...
Where did you walk from the barrier draw to Northcliffe?
No, that was that was different. That wasn't as far, but it was hot. That was hot. Actually, no, I did walk... Because 1 year I went to the Magic Millions, probably going back 6-7 years ago, and we couldn't get any transport from... I think it was Broadbeach to the track.
Yeah.
So I walked it and it was stinking hot. I remember when I got there, I had to lie down for about 20 minutes and I had two or three glasses of Coke I think I was well and truly dehydrated. So, yeah, but you can do it. Yep, and I'll probably do it again before my time is done. But, no, it's look, I think the Gold Coast, because it draws so many tourists and there'll be bucks parties and boys' weekends and girls' weekends and whatever, golf trips, you name it, it's going to be very popular on a Friday night or whenever it may be. And it's not that far away, so we'll keep you notified of how close it's getting. Now, Sammy, we lost Singapore. Well, we're losing Singapore. We're losing Macau. And now we're going to lose Greece.
Yeah, I read that.
No more Greek racing. Not that I know a lot about it.
I read that. It's very sad, isn't it? Is it a sign of the times, Chris? You know, like it's racing jurisdictions going under. And, that's just not good for horse racing overall, you know. And
not
to, and you know, to think that I look in our own backyard here in Australia, we have states that can't even get on and talk to each other. You know, it's not good.
Where did
it all
go wrong?
Really damaging for the sport.
Ben Thompson, good news for Ben during the week. He's off to ride in Hong Kong for a couple of months. Got a call from out of the blue and just said, would you like to come to Hong Kong? And he said, why not? So Steph, who was making her comeback at Eagle Farm tomorrow. Now, the horse he was riding, Magnus Bellagio, scratched. Now, I'm not sure if it's a dual accept. I'll check that. But Steph will be going, as will baby Harry, and they'll be off to Hong Kong. So good old Ben, he's put the kibosh on Steph's comeback.
Yeah.
But I'm sure she's not worried.
No, I don't think it's an amazing opportunity. And, you know, Ben will do really well there, I would have thought. And I'm sure Willow will have given him a few handy hints going into Hong Kong and some of Willow's old contacts for sure, because Craig Williams spent a good while there and had good success in Hong Kong. And obviously, Ben Thompson was apprenticed to Craig Williams' dad, Alan. And, he's the way Ben conducts himself is, he's almost a carbon copy of Craig, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he speaks so well and he's very passionate and does his form inside out. And, given the right opportunities, he'll go there and do well. I think Hong Kong, it's a really tricky place because obviously Zach Purton controls the place and gets most of the best rides and can pick and choose. You know, there's only a couple of jockeys there that can sort of that get to pick and choose what they like to ride, and it's really tough when you get there. But if you get there and have a bit of luck straight off the mark, it can be worth so much to you. And hopefully that happens for Ben. I mean, Luke Curry is somebody that is a fantastic jockey, and it was a real shame that he just didn't have any luck when he went to Hong Kong. I mean, he rode really well there, but just couldn't get enough winners on the board, and then the opportunities dry up. And since coming back to Melbourne, Luke has flown. Like, he's a top jockey, Luke, I wouldn't rule out that given the right opportunities, he'll get back to Hong Kong one day, but it is that fickle there. Yeah. If you don't get there and have luck straight away, the longer you're there without riding winners, or getting only minimal, not many winners, it can be really tough for you. So, but Ben will, I'm sure he'll be well aware of that. And so as much as you can be a good jockey going there, you need to have a bit of luck getting on the right horses, that's for sure.
He did ride for some time in Singapore too, Ben Thompson, some time. So I'm sure that experience will come in very handy. So good luck to Ben. Good luck to Steph. Good luck to young Harry. Hope they have a ball over there and Ben rides many, many winners. So we'll try and catch up with him while he's there. Probably he's a regular on the show. He's a big fan of the show, Sammy.
That's it.
He's Ben Thompson. So we wish him all the best. Now, I'm sure that I'm going to put the flame right underneath your seat with this one.
I thought when I saw this on the rundown, I was like, am I really that guy that just gets grumpy every time?
I'm with you, because when I saw this, I wasn't happy, put it that way. I saw this come up in the news during the week of another race name change, that the Chipping Norton Stakes, the time-honoured Group 1 Chipping Norton Stakes in Sydney, will now be called the Very Elegant. What do you think of that, Sam?
It's
Just rubbish.
It is. And it's, do you know what? It's, it gets back to what I was saying before about you know, states not being able to get on with each other and work in together. Not at all do they work in together. They work against each other, don't they? They're you know, two most popular racing states here in Australia. And then, yeah, it's all just noise, isn't it? Change the race's name. And there's amazing history that goes into a lot of these race names, and it's really sad. It's really sad. It's you know, I look at the Australian Cup, how the Australian Cup has suffered so much because of the All-Star Mile, which is just, I mean, that just baffles me. The this All-Star Mile garbage. It hasn't been a success. It's the whole voting. You know, what about the smoke and mirrors and all the, you know, thousands of people that are ringing up voting for horses and getting on the internet and voting for these horses, and we had all this interaction with this race, and it was all nothing. Well, it's not true, and you know, it's like changing race names. It's once it's done, Chris, you can't take it back.
You can't take it back.
You can't take it back.
The Chipping Norton Stakes is the first Group One of the year in Sydney. It's been the Chipping Norton since 1925.
Wow.
So why are we changing it?
Wow.
100 years later almost, because Very Elegant won it twice. Jeez. Big deal. I mean, we know Very Elegant was a champion mare. She won Melbourne Cup. She was brilliant. There's no doubt about it. But are we just going to rename every race after a Melbourne Cup winner that wins a couple of other races?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's getting out of control. And that history is now gone. Wiped. That's gone. No more Chipping Norton Stakes.
Who makes these decisions? Oh. Who's the one that says, let's change this race's name?
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to get them on the show.
Sad.
I doubt we'll be able to track them down. But
it's a shame. It's a real shame.
I mean, what about the Villiers? I can't remember. That's been changed to something too. The George Main's gone. That's something else. So, I mean, where is it going to end?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm not happy about it. I knew you wouldn't be happy about it. So we're on the same page there. Now, today's guest on the show will be Talia Fenlon, who, of course, rode her first Saturday Metro winner at the Sunshine Coast last Saturday. We've spoken to Talia before on a couple of other shows. She's a great girl. She's an apprentice that I think she was with John Manselman up north. And she's found her way now down to Chris Munce, and she's doing a really good job. And she's got a good book of rides tomorrow at Eagle Farm. So I'll be interested to talk about those. Now, also, Sammy, I'm looking forward to the sausage file this week because I have got a sausage file
that
is
loaded.
Bulging.
But hang on a minute. Did I see that one of my favourites is
maybe
in there? One
maybe
of my favourites.
I was going to ask you about it, but we'll get to it.
You're being tough on him.
You have your thin sausages and you have your fat sausages. Today's is fat.
You're being tough on Winnie, my mate Winnie.
We'll get to him.
Whoa. Hey.
He doesn't like it. Racing action continues every day across the Sunshine State. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today. And I can tell you we're racing on the Sunshine Coast tonight on a heavy 8 track, Sam. So the highway will be nice and full right about now. Tomorrow we race at Eagle Farm, Ipswich, Bundaberg. There's a meeting on the sand track there tomorrow. That's a tab meeting. And Toowoomba's back in the twilight zone. Normality has been restored. We haven't raced for 4 weeks at Toowoomba on a Saturday night. Been very much missed. So Toowoomba's back. And then we're back to the Sunshine Coast on Sunday.
Oh, make me over. I'm all I want to be.
All right, Sammy, we're going to catch up with Talia Fenlon, as promised. Now, Talia rode, I want to check whether it was her first Metro winner or her first Saturday Metro winner at the Sunshine Coast last Saturday. Whatever the case, she's doing a terrific job. And we have spoken to her in the past when she was based up north, I think with John Manselman. So, Talia, good afternoon to you.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
That's a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Now, just confirm that. Was it your first Metro winner or your first Saturday Metro winner?
My first Saturday Metro winner.
Okay, well, congratulations on that. And you rode Heroic Miss beautifully, and you got the job done. Beat Viminelle and Hatchet, who I was keen on. So didn't win with Hatchet, but I was very happy to see you win. Now, just a sidelight, Sammy, I was coming back from the Derby Day meeting at Flemington last year, last November. It was a Sunday morning, and I was at Melbourne Airport, and I'd had 3 hours sleep. and I wasn't feeling 100%.
Ooh, you big rager,
I
you.
I wasn't feeling
you big
100%.
Rager, you.
Cameron Partington was there, standing there. Well, everyone knows Cameron Partington in the Queensland racing industry, but he had a couple of other people with him who he introduced to me, and it was Talia Fenlon's mum and dad.
Oh, wow.
So I got to meet Talia Fenlon's parents. And I can tell you, Talia, I know where you get your manners and politeness from because your parents were lovely people.
Yes, thank you. I'm pretty lucky to have their support and, yeah, I guess upbringing from them.
Yeah, that's all I can remember. As I said, I'd only had 3 hours sleep and I wasn't quite with it. But, yeah, they probably thought, who was that bloke? He was away with the fairies. But would you tell them that I was a bit tired?
I can tell them that.
Talia, your dad was, he's a big hitter at the Rocky Turf Club, is he not?
Yes.
Yeah, he was the CEO up there for 5 odd years while I was in school. And yeah, he only finished up, it would have been a few years back now. And he's actually still got a bit to do with the Trainers Association. He helped Cam out and then he does the real estate commercial side, selling pubs and whatever.
Beautiful. Now, for the people that don't know, give us a quick Talia Fenlon story.
Well, yeah, I'm from Rockhampton. I'm born and bred there. I started Pony Club probably at a young age, and I guess that's probably what really got me into the horses. Then we did a fair bit of, yeah, Pony Club, camp drafting, mounted games. We just did the lot. And then my brother was writing track work for our good family friends while we were in school. I was just a bit too young, but Fred Smith would always ask, when are you going to start riding track work, girl? And, oh, well, when I got old enough, I applied. And I used to go in with my brother in the mornings before school and ride track work for Fred. And then I think that was year 10 and 11. And then I wasn't a big fan of school. So in year 12, I think it was, I started my certificate 3 in track work. And it's, I guess, the first step of being an apprentice jockey. And I guess that, yeah, led me to where I am now.
So who were you with in Rocky? Because I know you used to ride a lot.
Fred Smith.
It was Fred. Because I know you used to ride a bit for John Manselman around the place as well, maybe further north?
Yeah, definitely. I had a lot of good support up that way from, yeah, John Manselman. Kevin Miller gave me my first winner at Gladstone. Nick Walsh, Clint Taylor. Yeah, I was very fortunate up that way to have a lot of support behind me.
You're like a Hall of Famer already in Rocky and North Queensland, aren't you, Talia?
What was that? Sorry.
I said you're like a Hall of Famer in Rocky and North Queensland. Get plenty of support from everybody.
Yes, definitely. Rocky's, I guess, pretty small compared to down in Brisbane. And just growing up there, going to school there, knowing everyone at the track, it makes it a big community. Everyone knows everyone.
Now, Chris, I was lucky enough to go to the Albion Park Puppies with Talia a couple of weeks ago, and that was a fun night, wasn't it, Talia? My good mate Nathan Grubby Day was leading the charge, and we basically got kicked out of the dogs because we were being too loud. Everybody
really?
Was, yeah. Well, there was quite a few from the dog fraternity that were just frowning upon us because, Grubby was getting a bit vocal and. We'd had a few sherbets.
I was going to say, yeah.
We'd had a few sherbets under our belt, hadn't we, Talia? You were quiet and,
was it,
and well-behaved.
Talia, was it embarrassing, Talia, being out with these old blokes?
I can say I've been out with Grubby Day a few times, so I'm kind of used to him. So I can't say it was embarrassing, but, you know, you can't really, yeah. You got to look the other way when everyone's looking at them.
Yeah, so it is embarrassing. You can say it. No, you can't say it. Oh, that would have been exciting. Now, you made the move to Chris Munster's. When was that?
That was, I think, May last year.
And you're enjoying it?
Yeah, it is. It was a big change coming from Rockhampton. It was the only track I'd ever actually even ridden track work at. So it was definitely a big eye-opener coming down here and seeing how busy the lifestyle is and how many horses get worked and how many different tracks there are versus Rocky.
Yeah, and the change. I mean, the change in moving from a country town to the Big Smoke, how much of an impact does that have on you? How have you handled that?
Well, I only live 2 minutes from the track, so that side's pretty good. But I can say the travelling to races, I'm not a big fan of.
No.
Get a bit of road rage having to sit in the traffic, and yeah, not too big of a fan of that.
So you're happy when you're riding in town? You haven't got, you could walk if you rode in town.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's very good, getting to drive 2 minutes to the races.
Now, Muncie was obviously an outstanding jockey, and how does it go with, what's he like being a master? And I'm sure he's got, he can help you along the way. I always think that it's a huge advantage to have, be apprenticed to somebody that has been a jockey, and especially a successful jockey like that. Just little things that I'm sure Chris Munce would just see and pick up on just watching you ride work.
Yeah, definitely. I'm very fortunate to have him as a boss, as someone who's ridden, especially, coming from, I guess, Rockhampton to here. I needed a boss who can help me with my riding to, improve. And, he's very helpful. We'll sit down and watch the replays before the races. He'll tell me, have a look at the speed maps and see where I should be. And, he is very, very helpful.
Now, Heroic Miss, how confident were you last Saturday that she'd get the job done for you?
She had the lightweight of 51, and I've ridden her a fair few times, and she's one of the favourites at trackwork, so it's good to really know her. And I thought, the race actually panned out exactly how I hoped it would. I could get out and get to the fence and let the speed cross, and she had a beautiful run in behind, and just that no weight on her back, she could, really hit the line well.
Well, Nathan Exelby was very, very keen on her chances on Saturday morning, I can tell you that. So he was certainly in your corner. Now, as for tomorrow, you have three rides at this stage, races 1, 2, and 7. You kick it off in race number 1. You're riding Mashani Unlawful for Les Ross.
Yeah, it drew a bit ordinary over the 1,200, but once again, it's got no weight on its back, down to 51, so hopefully it can run a good race.
Race 2, you're riding She's a Rogue for Chris. Now, look, doing the form for this race, I honestly feel as though if She's a Rogue turned up and put her best foot forward, she'd win this race, but she just tends to mix her form a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Her last run at Ipswich was exceptional against that $1.30 favourite. She gave it a good run for its money. She draws a good gate and 1,000 metres. Hopefully she can do the same as she did at Ipswich, show that form, and, she should be very hard to beat.
And what about Brocky in race number 7? It's drawn well, this horse.
Yeah, it has drawn well. I haven't ridden it before, but it does have pretty good form at Eagle Farm, so hopefully it can get the job done, especially with apprentices on.
Well, I can tell you I tipped Brocky in the Country Cup there during the Magic Millions Carnival, and I thought it was a great chance, but just got too far back. No urgency early on, and ended up being out of the race, but finished off okay, and has got some really good form in some better races, so not without a chance, Brocky. I wish you the best, because I just cannot catch that horse. So out of those three, which are you looking forward to riding the most? And I think you're going to say She's a Rogue.
Yeah, I'd like to say She's a Rogue, especially, having a bit to do with her at track work. And
yep.
It's kind of good winning on one for the boss.
Talia, go on. Sorry, Sammy.
Talia, who's doing your booking your rides, and have you got a manager?
Yes, I have Adrian Gray.
Rightio. And Adrian Gray, is that AJ that used to be with Tony Golan?
Yes, I think
back
so.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
He's gone into jockey managing, eh?
I think he's been in a few things. Didn't he go to New South Wales at some stage?
Yeah, he was. I used to ride for his grandfather, actually. I won on a horse called Bundalagua for Peter Gray, who only just passed away just recently. He was a lovely guy from Sale down in the Gippsland. And, they're good racing family down in the Gippsland.
Well, sure. Adrian's doing a great job for you, Talia. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Great to have you on the show. We wish you all the best going forward. You're doing a great job so far, and no doubt there's many more winners to come.
Oh, good. Thank you for having me again.
Nope, our pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Talia Fenlon joining us there, Sammy. And as I said, she's doing a terrific job, a great young girl, and she'll ride plenty of winners.
Yeah, she will. She does a super job and real passion for racing, and, you know, obviously grown up in it, and her family heavily involved in it in Rockhampton. So good on her. She's doing a super job, and she rides really well. And the fact that she can ride light is, it's a
big help.
Huge benefit, that's for sure.
Now, before we go to the break, you spoke about greyhounds. Did you catch any of the Group 1 action at the Albion Park last night?
I did not, Chris.
Fantastic stuff.
I did not.
Gold Cup final and the Gold Bullion. And they were both won by dogs that were off speed. And they got their, well, that first one actually won. I can't think of the name of it. I'll get it in a moment. But the first one won running away. But the second one got there right on the line. Could have been a bit of an optical illusion. Morton was the name of the second one. And the first one had a tricky name, which I'll get to in a minute. But that was a massive, massive, massive night. At the Greyhounds last night. Would have been a good night to go.
I've been dabbling in a bit of Greyhound action on Mondays and Tuesdays with the Brown Dog, because we haven't had a lot of race meetings to deal with. So we've been tipping a bit at Horsham and Warrnambool. And, well, I don't, the green box, I don't like it, Chris. I don't
the
know
squeeze
the,
box.
I don't
no
know
good.
If the door opens a bit slower or, you know
the rules.
Gets out the back, always out the back, the Green Dog.
You know the rules. You don't back, you back 1, 2, 7, or 8, and the rest of them are the squeeze boxes, Sammy.
Gee whiz.
All right, we'll go for a break. We'll come back and we'll catch up with Gibbo, Sausage of the Week. Plenty more to come on The Punters, Mate.
This is The Punters, Mate, on SEN.
What? How's that, Sammy? A bit of young MC?
Good stuff.
Now, great to chat to Talia Fenlon. She's doing really good things, and the future looks very bright for Talia, does it? Now, it's time for our bulging sausage file. It is time for Sausage of the Week. Now, it's full. It is full. Have you got any to add before I start?
Look, I'm going to put this out there. I felt for Miles. I worked with him on trackside on Thursday. And he tipped a horse very strongly. And it went by the name of Sir Joe. And it ran terrible. Maybe it pulled up with issues.
Was
it heat stress? Yeah. Do we say heat stress because we don't really know what happened?
Maybe.
Do we say, start a favourite, everyone backed it, and we need to say something happened, so we're going to say heat stress.
Where does that come from, the stable?
Yeah, I don't.
The stable report back and say it had heat stress?
Don't know what. Yeah, I just don't know about heat stress. It's one of those.
Is it up there with slow recovery and cardiac arrhythmia?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's.
And thumps.
Yeah, thumps.
Some horses seem to win with the thumps, others fail miserably.
Well, it's funny how many times they get it and then the next start they win. Have you seen that?
Yes, that's an interesting one. Lots of times. Same with the cardiac arrhythmia.
Yeah.
That works that way as well.
So I don't know, but. Look, Sir Joe is, we'll put him in the sausage file, and I'm sure Miles will have him in the sausage file because.
So, you know, what does Miles do next time? Does he jump on again or does he let him go?
I would suggest not, unless it's going to a Kilcoy maiden.
That's a bit rough. All right, so that's your sausage this week.
Yeah.
I got a few. I got one from yesterday at Dooman, Plundering. This horse is a major disappointment. He's consistent. But he just can't win. And he sat outside the leader and just folded up at odds on. Look, he did have his shoe change at the barriers and there was a vet examination. There's another one, Sam. But he failed.
Who rode Plundering?
I'll have to get back to you there. I don't think I've got it handy here. But I'll get back to you on that. Now, from last week, into the sausage file goes Aussie Nugget, who is an absolute shocker. I can't catch him. Golden Boom, Sam. Does he go in?
Well, you're strong on him.
I am, but I don't know how much longer I can be strong.
Yeah.
He didn't offer much in the straight. Yeah, get Tony going on next time.
CJ Road Plundering. Was this the horse that got back and then zoomed up around him and sat outside the leader?
Yeah, he didn't have a lot go his way. But
no,
he's just,
he missed a start. That's the horse, yeah.
Finding ways to get beaten, though.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought he was an excuse yesterday.
Okay. Battleton out of Sydney last week. People keep tipping Battleton. He's just the biggest enigma going around. Man behind the money's not far behind him. He got beaten as well. Now
I won't have it. I will not have you. I will not have you bag this horse.
I just wanted to ask you about...
I won a lot of money on this horse
one
day.
Yeah, but that doesn't last forever. You won on him.
I love him.
Winston Smurfield.
He's quirky.
Yeah, he can...
I thought he went okay. I wasn't...
told me he'd win last week.
Yeah, I wasn't too disappointed, but there was... I did think he'd get the lead, and he didn't do that. And I think he's a horse that, as I say, he's quirky. I think he's better when he's in front and he hasn't got anything to... You know, if he has too much going on around him, I think it's...
So how do we know all that?
It's a worry. Well, he's just... He needs to jump and...
All right,
get,
we'll leave
lead
him out.
By
we'll give him
two
another
lengths.
Chance. Okay.
He needs to lead by two lengths. No one interfering or worrying him. He just likes to be out there being a free bird, you know?
All right.
So I'm willing to give him a chance, Winston Smurfield.
All right, and so I'll put a line through him. He's not going in as yet, but I'll keep asking you.
Yeah.
Now, I think the first winner out of the sausage file happened last week, and it was Zoo Tiger in Sydney that I put in a couple of weeks earlier. So it's finally happened. So apologies there. I've got one wrong. But there's a lot in there that haven't won. And the ones we're adding today are Aussie Nuggets, Plundering, Battleton, Man Behind the Money. And I'm not putting Golden Boom in yet. If you're not putting Winston Smurfield in, I'm not putting Golden Boom in.
Okay.
Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay, well, I'm not putting Winston Smurfield in there.
Winnie will come out and win at odds next time.
I'm not putting Golden Boom in, should I say. You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
On the Gold Coast, in the sunshine, a holiday paradise.
He's been a very hard man to get hold of, Sammy, has Gibbo of late. I know a couple of weeks ago he was busy playing golf, and then last week we tried and tried and tried, but he was tied up in a conference call. I mean, he was big, and now he's bigger.
He's the rock star of the Gold Coast.
Yeah, it's going to be soon. It's going to be, if you want me on the show, speak to my manager. Is this
back by popular demand, though? Everybody's been asking.
Have they? What?
Lots of people rang me up and said... Where was Gibbo last week? I was just doing Gibbo things.
The only reason they listen to the show.
I tell you what, the old big and getting bigger, that might be me waistline, not me.
I saw some you swimming at a pool, so that's not true.
Yeah, no, doing a little charity this month. Any times for the Starlight Sick Kitties in Hospital. Any time this month, you could add your own tally, so I thought, why not help out some sick kitties? So, I've said I'd swim 10Ks this month, so I didn't miss it. I started day one because I need as many Ks in there as I can to make it a bit easier at the end of the month.
So how many Ks have you swum so far?
I started a day early, but that's going to count. So I did a K the first day, 1.7 the second. So I'm on track.
Yeah, you're well and truly on track. Can you go over, or are you just going to stop at the 10?
Yeah, you can go over. I've had a mate hit me up for a 5 kilometre ocean swim. I'm actually at Coolangatta Beach, so I'm looking at where I have to swim. A little more daunting when you're looking at like a 5K beach ocean swim. So that's in April, that one. So I'll see how I go.
Does it get sharky out there? Oh. Any sharkies?
Oh, yeah, don't say that word. That's the only reason, because it's a big ocean swim, that one, with lots of people. So I like my odds. But he did say to me, oh, there's about 20 that do an ocean swim every Saturday, Sunday. I said, 20-1.
I tell you what, if one of those gave you a tickle on the tootsies, you'd get moving, wouldn't you? I reckon.
God, you'd swim like the speed of light.
Mate, and Sammy, you know, like if I'm swimming with 20, you know, they always say the strongest survive. Well, I'd be that little weakling out the back just kicking like a seal.
Up and down in the one
That's
spot.
That's easy picking. That's easy like picking for the Noah Ark.
You'd be like Plundering at Doomben yesterday.
Yeah,
Yeah.
There we go. Oh, I don't want to hear that when you're in the water.
No.
Now, have you got any? There's no racing at the Gold Coast, but we saw the first of the light towers go up during the week, Gibbo. Were you there to help? Were you on hand?
Yeah, no, I didn't know. I seen that as well. It's it's exciting times. It's no racing, but all for the betterment, and looking forward to that down the track.
When do we return? Any idea? I think we were going to just work
question.
That.
Oh, good question. No,
yeah, okay. We'll worry about
that. I'll search that for you. No.
That's okay. I know you've got other things to do. You've got plenty on your plate living that lifestyle that you're living down there at the moment. Now, any tips? Any tips over the weekend?
Look, yeah, just a couple. Maybe the trip's not ideal, but Eagle Farm Race 2, number 6, Surreal Ascot. I'm pretty sure it's the best horse in the race. Last prep, I sort of thought it was just this would be the right trip, but as it got out, I'm sort of thinking 1350 might be more the go, but I just think can map well, might even come back a better horse this time. So I've got to have something on Surreal Ascot in race 2. And yep. Then I think it's Melbourne about race 8, number 1, Rote to Arataki. Going around in some really good races. There's one or two here we're still learning about down the bottom that might be nice horses that have had some support, but just think Rote to Arataki. Got a bit of class edge on him. I think it gets him well at the weight. So around $3.80, I think it's one we can definitely have something on.
All right. So the two for you tomorrow, Eagle Farm, race 2, number 6, Surreal Ascot, and Caulfield, race 8, number 1, Rote to Arataki. That's it. Nothing else?
Thank you, linesman. Thank you, ball boys.
All right, mate. Good luck. Stay safe, and we'll check in with you next week and see what adventures you've been up to.
Good to talk to you, lovely gentlemen.
And yeah, Gibbo.
It's always great to chat with Gibbo. And as I said, he's leading the lifestyle down there. He's not at the beach. He's on the golf course or in conference calls. He's getting a very corporate sort of status.
Good on him.
Yeah, good on him indeed.
Good on him.
Alrighty, now, Sammy, tips.
Righto, Eagle Farm, my best on Saturday is race 8, number 11, African Daisy.
Ooh.
I think this can be winning, and you'll get it at $4.20 this afternoon. So, I just think it was good first up. It's drawn a good gate. Second up, effective at the trip. It's not a great race. So, I'm all about the Daisy, African Daisy. Then, I'm going to tip you one at a price here. Race 10. Number 11, Tin Tin Win. This opened up at $91.
Wow.
It's into $41.
Is that your money?
Now, I had something on it.
That's what it is.
Gets in with no weight. It's not hopeless. It's over the odds. So Tin Tin Win for me. And race 6, number 12, Sablenko. I reckon it'll be getting the money. $5, you can get it. It's got another with the claim for Manu Potgieter. It's been about the money all three runs this time around. There's been a few scratchings out of that race. So, I think it's found its right race.
Tin Tin Win. There's a theme here. Malia Castle taking 3 kilo. You're a fan, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I think she rides really well. Yeah. And the fact that she rides the weight, I mean, she walks around about like 48 kilos or something. And... So, you know, those horses that get into those races with postage stamp on their back, I reckon it can get the money.
All right. Now, I'm going to go with Eagle Farm. Now, I'm going to tip a bunch of horses here that all won midweekers at their last start. I think they can all carry that form to tomorrow. Race 5, number 2, Captain Finkel. Race 6, number 13, Lennox. And race 8, number 9, I'm taking you on here, head-to-head with Belvedere Boys.
Oh, wow.
So 5-2, 6-13, and 8-9. I've got one for you at Rose Hill, and that is in the last race. Race 10, number 12, Walenda, who ran some nice sectionals home behind Cabalas a couple of weeks ago. Now, South Australian tips, jump onto Twitter, or is it known these days, Sammy? X. South_tips. So at South_tips, and Anthony this week has tipped us for Morfettville tomorrow. Race 3, number 5, Pearl Adios to win. Race 4, number 3, Pompeii Empire to win. Race 5, number 5, Lapilli each way. And race 6, number 7, Tap In for Par, which I know he's tipped before, each way. So 3 number 5, 4 number 3, 5 number 5, 6 number 7 from Anthony at South Australian Horse Racing. Tips, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. And that's pretty much it for us this week, Sammy. Cohen, what do you got on for the weekend?
Ah, geez, I'm heading up to Brisvegas, mate. It's my little brother's birthday.
So oh, fantastic. Stuff.
Yeah, get him in the van and take him up for a bit of a road trip up there. There's a VR little driving thing up there that he'll love, and a bit of rock climbing with him, and he'll love that, mate.
Beautiful.
What are you boys up to?
I just see my mate Punch Lane's in at Caulfield on Saturday. Have right. something on him. He'll be hard to beat in that race, I reckon.
There you go. Here's a tip for you, Cohen.
Lovely.
Punch Lane.
Punchy.
Punch on. All right, well, have a great weekend. Everyone out there, thanks for listening. Catch you same place, same time next Friday on The Punter's Mate on SEN Track. Good luck.